you know what this is?" he said.
"No, what is it?"
"I can't remember, but we should put it back."
"Okay, just use sorcery. Blow them to bits and let's go home."
"No, they live on magic. It'd only make them worse. I can't use magic."
"Are you sure?" said Rincewind.
"I'm afraid your memory was very clear on the subject."
"Then what should we do?"
"I don't know."
Rincewind thought about this and then, with an air of finality, started to take off his last sock. "No half bricks," he said, to no one in particular. "Have to use sand."
"You're going to attack them with a sock full of sand?"
"No, I'm going to run away from them. The sock full of sand is for when they follow." People were returning to Al-Khali, where the ruined tower was a smoking heap of stones. A few brave souls turned their attention to the wreckage, on the basis that there might be survivors who could be rescued or looted, or both. And among the rubble, the following conversation might have been heard.
"There's something moving under here."
"Under what? By the two beards of M'tal, you are mishearing. It must weigh a ton."
"Over here, brothers."
And then sounds of much heaving would have been heard, and then,
"It's a box. It could be treasure, do you think? It's growing legs by the seven moons of Nazarim."
"Five moons."
"Where did it go? Where did it go?"
"Never mind about that. It's not important. Let's get this straight. According to the legend, it was five moons."
In Klatch, they take their mythology seriously. It's only real life they don't believe. The three horse persons sensed the change as they descended through the heavy snow clouds at the hub end of the Stow Plain. There was a sharp scent in the air.
"Can't you smell it?" said Nigel. "I remember it when I was a boy, when you could lay in bed on that first morning in winter and you could sort of taste it in the air, and..."
The clouds parted below them, and there, filling the high plains country from end to end, were the herds of the ice giants. They stretched for miles in every direction, and the thunder of their stampede filled the air. The bull glaciers were in the lead, bellowing their vast creaky calls and throwing up great sheets of earth as they ploughed relentlessly forward. Behind them pressed the great mass of cows and their calves, skimming over land already ground down to the bedrock by the leaders. They bore as much resemblance to the familiar glaciers the world thought it knew as a lion dozing in the shade bears to 300 pounds of wickedly coordinated muscle bounding towards you with its mouth open.
And when you went to the window..."
Nigel's mouth, lacking any further input from his brain, ran down. Moving, jostling ice packed the plain, roaring forward under a great cloud of clammy steam. The ground shook as the leaders passed below, and it was obvious to the onlookers that whoever was going to stop this would need more than a couple of pounds of rock salt and a shovel.
"Go on, then," said Kanina. "Explain. I think you'd better shout."
Nigel looked distractedly at the herd.
"I think I can see some figures," said Creosote helpfully. "Look, on top of the leading things."
Nigel peered through the snow. There were indeed beings moving around the backs of the glaciers. They were human or humanoid, or at least humanish. They didn't look very big. That turned out to be because the glaciers themselves were very big, and Nigel wasn't very good at perspective. As the horses flew lower over the leading glacier, a huge bull heavily crevassed and scarred by moraine, it became apparent that one reason why the ice giants were known as the ice giants was because they were, well, giants. The other was that they were made of ice. A figure the size of a large house was crouched at the crest of the bull, urging it to greater efforts by means of a spike on a long pole. It was craggy. In fact, it was more nearly faceted, and glinted green and blue in the light. There was a thin band of silver in its snowy locks, and its eyes were tiny and black and deep-set like lumps of coal. Although this was the only way in which they resembled the idols built in response to ancient and unacknowledged memories by children in snowy weather, it was extremely unlikely that this ice giant would be a small mound of grubby ice with a carrot in it by the morning. There was a splintering crash ahead as the leading glaciers smacked into a forest. Birds rattled up in panic. Snow and splinters rained down around Nigel as he galloped on the air alongside the giant. He cleared his throat.
He said, excuse me.
Ahead of the boiling surf of earth, snow and smashed timber, a herd of caribou was running in blind panic, their rear hooves a few feet from the tumbling mess. Nigel tried again.
I say,
he shouted. The giant's head turned towards him.
What you want, it said. Go away, hot person.
Sorry, but is this really necessary?
The giant looked at him in frozen astonishment. It turned around slowly and regarded the rest of the